We are continuing our study of the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're noticing this experience, the experiences of Barnabas and Paul as they are going on in their first missionary journey. In our last study, we noticed while they were at Lystra that they had been very greatly appreciated by the people because Paul worked a miracle in the healing of a man who was crippled in his feet. And Paul had exercised faith in the matter, called on the man to stand on his feet, which he did, and he leaped and walked, and the people were greatly impressed. And you will remember that they tried to make gods out of Barnabas and Paul. And you will recall that Barnabas and Paul were so greatly disturbed by that, they ran in through the crowd of people and told them that they were no better than the other folks, that what really made the difference was God. And the God they were talking about was the God that blessed them every day through nature. The very God that supplied all the needs of living round about them, the very God of nature who made the sun shine and made the wind to blow and caused the rain to fall and made the grass to grow and surrounded them with harvest and gave them fruit and took care of them in all the natural things. It was that God who had made this particular man whole in answer to prayer. And that was the God that they were there to represent. So they'd passed through an experience of being very popular and actually pleading with the people not to make something superhuman out of them. Now the story goes on in verse 19, and you're going to see a very sharp contrast. And anybody who watches this and sees it will see that if you're dealing with the public, you've got to be ready for sunshine and rain. There'll be days when everybody's on your side, and there'll be days when everybody's against you. And notice now what happened here. After we had finished with verse 18, with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. It was all Barnabas and Paul could do was to keep the people from making gods out of them and bowing down and worshiping them and giving them sacrifices as if they were gods. Now look at verse 19. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 14, in verse 19. After this experience, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Remember, these Jews had opposed them in Antioch, and these Jews had opposed them in Iconium. And certain Jews came who persuaded the people. They talked about Barnabas and Paul. They criticized them. They spread a slander about them. They persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. That's a very simple story. I mean, a very simple record, just a single sentence, for what must have been a terrible experience. There was a mob aroused, and they took this man, Paul, that they had just wanted to make a god out of a few days before. And these Jews, who were opposed to him, had slandered him in such a way that the people were going to kill him. And they stoned him until he was unconscious. And they pulled him out of the city, they drew him out of the city, dragged him on the ground, doubtless, as if he was a dead body, supposing he had been dead. And for those of us who are in the ministry, and those of us who teach Sunday school class, and those who in any way seek to spread the gospel or to teach the gospel, we should be prepared in a public way. One day you're praised, the next day you're blamed. One day they lift you up and would make a very god out of you, the next day they would knock you down and wouldn't wipe their shoes on you. The public is fickle, and you can't go by it. But this is what happened. And by the way, they don't say much, do they? They just say this. They say that these Jews persuaded the people, stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, left him for dead. Now look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I declare to you that really is a case of simple statement, isn't it? There's no story about how he felt, no story about any resentment on his part, no argument, no getting together of a crowd of people to make sure that the authorities would find out about it, nothing like that at all. What you get is, the disciples stood round about him. Don't miss that. The disciples stood round about him. That is a wonderful thing. You see, that brings to our mind the idea that these disciples participated. They supported him. They stood round about him. And why, you know, they sympathized with him. They were feeling for him. He rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's the way it is. And what I mean to say about that is, just a few days before they'd wanted to make a god out of him, now they treated him like a criminal. You know, every now and again a community will seem to welcome the gospel and some evangelist will preach and everybody seems to be just inclined to want to turn to the Lord. You ought to be careful. It doesn't need to take very long. It can be a matter of months, a year or two, and you'll find the very same people will criticize that evangelist and be against everything that he stands for. You can't go by people. The public has always done just as it pleased about this. And by the way, the public always feels competent to appraise. They can always say, and there's a real preacher. Do they know? And say again about another man, well, he just isn't any good. Do they know? They can say what they like, but they can't say the way it is. These people on one occasion wanted to make a god out of Paul. They were wrong. And then later they wanted to make a criminal out of Paul. They were wrong. If Paul had believed them when they tried to make a god out of him, he'd have been foolish. And if Paul had believed them when they tried to make a criminal out of him, he'd have been foolish. Paul had to go his way. Paul and Barnabas had to go their way, regardless of the people. If the people will do good for you, fine. If they do evil for you, trust the Lord. And that's the way this happened here. But I want you to notice, too, that Paul didn't go through this alone. When he was at the very bottom and was left for dead, the disciples stood round about him. And I can't help but think that their presence strengthened him when he rose up and went on his way. And by the way, so far as this broadcast is concerned that you're listening to, I suppose you know that those of us who are presenting this broadcast are hoping and trusting for the Christian people to support it, because we do try to preach the gospel through the Scriptures and try to show the scriptural meaning for things. What I mean to say is this. There will be those who will have no interest in what we're doing. There might be those who might even feel that what we're doing is not what ought to be done. We need the support of the people who will help us and who do respond to the things that we have, but who do agree with the emphasis that we're putting out. And so we need to have people stand round about us. Just like those disciples stood round about Paul and he was revived and went on his way, we need to have people stand around us and pray for us in our work. That's the reason for this praying fellowship we have that we call the A and H Club. A, you know, for Aaron, and H for her. The A and H Club is the Aaron and Her Club. Do you remember the occasion of the battle between Israel and Amalek that you read about in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus? And Amalek was so strong he would have defeated Joshua if Moses up on the mount hadn't prayed. But Moses held up his hands in prayer, and as long as he held up his hands, Joshua was winning. But when he got tired and would have quit, it was two men, one by the name of Aaron and another by the name of Hur, that stepped up beside Moses and strengthened him. And I have a feeling that that's the kind of thing that could happen any man to any man in the ministry. I think your pastor needs that kind of support. He needs the help of people who will stand up beside him and strengthen him. And I know I do in the work I'm trying to do. I need to have people stand beside me to strengthen me. Now, if you don't know about this before, you're just hearing it for the first time, you listen at the close of this program to where you'll find our address. And you just write and ask for literature about the A&H Club. We have a praying fellowship in which you promise to pray for this program and for your pastor. That's all. We'll tell you what we specially need. But all you have in mind is that. And we'll tell you more about it when you ask for it. But what we're basing it on just this truth you see here. When Paul had been stoned and left for dead, the disciples stood round about him. And he revived. That's the thing we want. We want folks to stand round about us and help us in our own personal witnessing and testimony. And now we come down to verses 21 and 22 about this. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they turned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. These disciples went on their way home, retracing their steps, calling at the cities where they had been, calling the group of disciples, the converts, together and preaching to them, and doing these three things, confirming the souls of the disciples. How would you confirm a man's soul? Say over again what he's believing in. Remind him of Christ's death. Remind him of Christ's promises. Remind him of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind him of how God will bless him through Christ Jesus. Let these things strengthen him. That's what confirming means. Make him stronger. Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Put your whole trust in the Lord regardless of events. Continuing in the faith doesn't mean that you're going to keep on believing something's true regardless of what anybody else says. That's not the point. It means committing yourself to it. It means yielding yourself to it. And exhorting them to continue in the faith, to continue all your lifetime, no matter where you are, putting your trust in the Lord. If you can be with other people, fine. But suppose there's nobody else around. You keep on trusting in the Lord. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Every single person has this experience. You'll say, well, what kind of tribulation will I have? Whatever there is involved in the crucifixion of the self. It's the way of the cross that leads home. It's true for every one of us. Any one of us walking in the ways of the Lord will find experiences in front of us where we have to deny ourselves, to humble ourselves, to put our trust in the Lord and to walk humbly with Him that God may work out His will in us. That's the way it was done with the early disciples, and that's the way it can be done with us. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to us as we think on these things. Help us to learn how to witness for Thee, that others might be drawn to Thee and that they might be blessed. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.